today on Real Radio.
Holding your ground and you're dug in. And look, every one of us, we know what that emotion is like, to dig in. I'm not going to give in anything. You know what? That's a rough road. We've all done it. Don't look at me angelically like that. We've all done it. I am not going to surrender this one. That's a hard way to live, man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Life and Bible with a message titled, Being a Christian is Obedience to God. This series is designed to show us how to thrive as a Christian, even in the chaos and confusion of everyday real life. You know, we can't do this life alone. We need the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to not only do the right thing, but to stand up for everything that we believe in. You know, the Bible tells us that obedience to God is better than sacrifice. And that being said, we really have to put an end to our demands and be willing to submit to the Lord. Our selfish desires and sinful imaginations, if we let them get the best of us, it's going to destroy us in the end. But we can live an obedient life to God by letting go of the past and by putting God first in every area of our lives. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we've been bought with a price. Jesus gave his life so that we could live free from the chains of the past and look forward to a promising future. Personal relationship with Christ means we're forgiven, and in turn, we can forgive others. Forgiveness brings liberty from bitterness and a hope for all of our relationships. And now in his message called Being a Christian is Obedience to God, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I have no concept or idea of the innocence of Christ. Can you imagine the innocence of Jesus? There's something about him. When you saw him, you knew that you're in the... Didn't even Judas confess, I've betrayed innocent blood? Satan, having possessed him, confesses it. Amazing. It's glorious to elevate him. My point is this. I want you to exercise a willing submission to the Lord Jesus Christ because he should be elevated in the everyday aspects of our lives. You guys, is Jesus here in this church right now? Uh-huh. Is he going to be going home with you in your car tonight? When you pull up and arrive at your house or your apartment, is he already there? Yeah? He's everywhere, is he not, by the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay, listen. Does that mean that there's areas, when you drive into certain areas, like when you pull into this parking lot, are you pulling into an area that's marked holy zone? That you leave all of your bowling words out on the street because now you're coming to church? No. Is God not at the bowling alley? He's everywhere. And when you begin to practice the presence of Christ, it's easy to elevate him because you understand he's in every thought I think. He's listening. He's there. He's seeing everything. And apply that power and that reality to your marriage, no matter what condition it's in. Also this, number two, being a Christian is obedience to God, and you've got to face the reality of forgiveness, my friends. You've got to face the reality of forgiveness. This was a big thing in emails. I'll never forgive him. I can't forgive them. You have to. You may not understand why. Maybe tonight you will. Asking for forgiveness creates hope. Are there children involved in the divorce or in the rocky marriage? One of you, if you're here tonight, by the way, on one of our Wednesday nights together, check this out. On one of our Wednesday nights, there was a wife on this side of the sanctuary. There was a husband on that side. And they were on the road to divorce. And they're in the same building, hearing the same message on the opposite side of the sanctuary. And they wound up getting their lives together, praying together, and they started walking together with Jesus about 3 weeks ago. Forgiveness creates hope. Asking for forgiveness causes the resistance to that relationship to break down. When two people are pushing hard against each other and one of them says, you know what, I forgive you. I'm going to rest now. I'm going to back off. I'm going to take it easy. You guys, when two people are pushing hard against each other and one relaxes, the whole situation begins to ease up. If both of you are holding your ground and you're dug in, and look, every one of us, we know what that emotion is like, to dig in. I'm not going to give in anything. You know what? That's a rough road. We've all done it. Don't look at me angelically like that. We've all done it. I am not going to surrender this one. That's a hard way to live, man. No wonder why the Bible says at night when we go to bed, you should not let the sun set on an argument, but make up. Make up. Any husbands and wives in here tonight? That's a good thing to practice. Never go to bed, never fall asleep in a fight. I don't care if you don't go to bed till 4 a.m. Make it happen. Because you may fall asleep for 1 hour and wake up and it feels like he's 1,000 miles away. And guess what? Maybe he is. It's a weird feeling. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Pretty bizarre, huh? The reality of forgiveness is extremely powerful. Don't misunderstand forgiveness. Forgiveness creates hope. Secondly, forgiveness in this light, forgiving others brings about liberty. Were you wronged? Were you hurt? Now I'm speaking to the person tonight. You have all your justifiable pain. You were really ripped off. You were really robbed in that relationship, in that marriage. Listen to me carefully. Forgiving those who hurt you brings about your liberty. When we say, I will not forgive them, you have no idea what you're talking about. For some reason, you were told somewhere in your life that if you withhold forgiveness of them, you're hurting them. You're controlling them. You're inflicting pain upon them. That is one of the lies from the pit of hell itself. God gave you and I the ability to forgive other people that have hurt us so we can go free. Think that through. The moment you resigned to this fact that I am, you know what? I am going to ask God to help me to forgive that person. And then you go through that action. You call them up. You might even call the kids. Kids, for all the pain, all of the sorrow, all the yelling, all the hurt, all the insecurity that this marriage brought about, and now your dad and I are divorced and it's over. But listen, I want to tell you something right now. I am sorry. I ask you to forgive me for all that. And they might say, drop dead. Most often they do. They might say, well, whatever. They're probably not going to even believe you. But something will happen when you hang that phone up. You will be free to move on with God. The Bible says, listen to this, in Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it has been said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, you fool, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire itself. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, translation today, if you go to church or you bow your knee to pray at home or anywhere, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come make your offering and your gift to God. Isn't God awesome? He hates hypocrisy. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And listen, you've got a rift going on in your life, in your family. God says, you know, keep your praise the Lord's to yourself. They make me sick. I don't want to hear them anymore. Didn't he tell? He told Israel that. Don't tell me the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. He says, get out of here. Now listen, God would be pleased if you said, you know what, I'm gonna ask my kids to forgive me. I'm gonna ask my wife or my husband or my ex to forgive me. Even if they won't hear you, you need to obey him. Obey the Lord in this. Also, this finding forgiveness sets you free. We talked about that a moment ago, but from this factor, most importantly, and that's bitterness. Issue forgiveness, you'll never succeed because bitterness will consume you. It will consume you. In Ephesians 4:31, the Bible says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Number three, your strength is in the power of God, not you. She said, "Pastor Jack, I cannot make it work. I cannot get this life of mine back on its feet." Listen, my friend, don't try it on your own. The power of God is what you need. I'm going to give you some things very quickly. Number one, a daily workout plan in being in the Bible. A daily workout plan. If you commute to work and you happen to drive by a health club at any hour of the early morning hours, any from 4 o'clock on, have you noticed the parking lots of health clubs in the early hours? Are they empty or full? Isn't it amazing that people will do that for a muscle or for a look and avoid that commitment to God at all costs? Have you ever thought about that? Do you realize how many well-built, shaped people will be in hell looking good? I mean, I don't mean everybody there is going to Hades. I'm just saying, we need to have that kind of zeal and commitment. Oh, my marriage is coming apart. I don't know what to do. Why don't you seek God early, hard, in the word, in prayer? What? Get up early? Get up an hour early before going to work? Well, my marriage is not worth that much. Let him have the kids. Seriously. You know why? Most people can't seek God early in the morning because they're up late with Beelzebub that night or something. I don't know. It's hard. I have to admit, it's hard to seek God early in the morning when you're up at midnight. You know, you say, what are you saying? That just depends on, if your life is super smooth and cool, then you know what? Stay up late and sleep in, I guess. I don't know. But man, if you're like me, maybe you ought to hang out with me. We'll have some, man, you get troubles. Man, what are you going to do? Oh my goodness, what about this? Oh no, what are you going to do? Hey, you know what? There's only one thing we can do. We got to get up early and see God. You know, if your life's that pleasurable and calm, then Lord, I pray that you'd bless them to get you up early seeking God. You can always find people who are desperate before the Lord because they're seeking him. Guard your thoughts. The Bible says that we need to bring every thought under the captivity of Jesus Christ. We'll just touch on a few more of these, and then I just want to bring this thing to an end tonight. Number four, marriage has proven to be bigger than you. Isn't that true? Isn't marriage bigger than you and I? You guys, check this out. Marriage is impossible without God. You say, well, Jack, I know non-believers who've been married 50 years. You know, that's amazing and that's fantastic, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual fruit, potential, and fertility of a Christian marriage. There's nothing like it on the planet. You say, Jack, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce. That doesn't change God's plan for marriage. That just tells you how weak and stupid we are in avoiding God in our marriages. Marriage is bizarre. It's amazing. If any of you today read Charles Spurgeon's devotion this morning, in his morning and evening devotion, what did he talk about today? Marriage. And he talked about the picture that a husband and a wife live out in this life every day of Christ's love and the church's love for one another. It was amazing. Marriage is something that is way beyond you and I. Marriage cannot be simply about you. When you signed up to be married, what were you thinking? God, the God of the Bible, invented marriage. It was to build ministry. You have a marriage that works. I'm not saying a marriage that's perfect. I'm saying a marriage that works. There is no marriage that's perfect. But then there's marriages that work. And I love how God teaches us in 1 and 2 Timothy that if you've got a marriage that's working, then you're probably a good candidate to pastor a church. That's what he says. Why? You put up with a marriage that works, you can probably put up with a church. It's amazing. But it's not about us. It's about that other person we're married to. tonight, if it's all been about you, stop tonight and make it about them. Well, who are they going to make it about? They're going to make it about you. Instead of trains passing in the night, you're going to wind up colliding in love. Try it. And then we'll just end with this thought, which I think is the most important, which is why I wanted to end with this thought. Being a Christian is obedience to God, and you must have, starting tonight, my friend, you must have a godly fear of who the Lord is. The fear of the Lord. Period. You know all the stuff that led to your divorce or your hardship right now with your husband or your wife? It could have been completely avoided if you guys would have been fearing the Lord. Now, look, if you guys are not Christians tonight, you need to come to Jesus tonight. In fact, it's really cute. If you're not a Christian tonight, yeah, but you know what? She and, you know, and he, and what about, hey, quiet, zip it. You guys are not Christians. Do you want to become Christians? Because here's what the Bible teaches. All of us are doomed. But Jesus went to the cross and he died there for us. He died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And if you trust him for that, believing that God the Father put him there, he died, rose again from the dead. If you believe that, old things are passed away. Behold, everything's become new. You say, wait a minute. You mean my wife, my husband? New. Yeah, but she, you know what she did last year? New. I don't know if I can, you know that thing about 3 years ago? Put it behind you. Follow Christ. Point your eyes toward him. Your new creation's in Christ. This is boot camp stuff. This is where it matters. I wish I would have went to that other church and heard a really happy, could have heard a happy sermon. Yeah, that's fine. But listen, stuff we're talking about tonight works. Why would you not love him or love her again? Now look, you read the scriptures, you pour your life into them, and you see God and watch what he does. And you young people that are here tonight, I don't want you to be terrified about getting married. I want you to count the cost. And it's awesome. It's so awesome that God stirs up your heart. You might be, you know what, I got to tell you, I'll confess, I came to Jesus. I told you guys before, I was never into drugs, never into drinking, never into all that stuff. I just, as a non-Christian, I was never into that stuff. But I thought girls were an amazing creation of God. And that was my problem. And then I became a Christian. And then I met some Christian girls at church. Oh yeah, right. They were about as Christian as the other girls I'd known that never mentioned anything about Jesus. And so I concluded, I kid you not, I concluded, that's it. God is awesome. Jesus is coming back. And there are no Christian women. And so I have the ability to make money because I can just see that this is going to work. And okay, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a lot of money, love God, and never be married. And I could do that. So I thought I could do that. And then one day, I was working. I had, my crews were out working, and I was working. I was working. This is how I worked. I made sure all my crews were now working. They're out doing their thing. And I was at Orange Street in Newport Beach on PCH playing volleyball. That's how I worked. And I had a phone. What do you guys do? Put 3/4 of that in the, okay, all right. And then the next day I would drive by and see if they did their jobs and all that stuff. That's how I was working, getting paid ridiculous amounts of money. And the owner of the company didn't care because as long as I made him money, I was fine. That's all he asked. Okay, I can do that. So I'm safe. I'm playing volleyball with Christian friends. It's in the middle of the day. And a friend of mine says, hey, Jack, see that girl over there? And my attitude, nope, don't care. And he goes, no, really, listen. She goes to Anaheim First Baptist Church. She's a really cool Christian. Yeah, right. And that was Lisa, my wife. And the amazing thing was, I had my heels dug in. I was going to follow God, and that's the way it is. And when I met her, I just thought, well, she's nice. She was very talkative, and that was cool, and so on. Then we started talking, then we started talking, then we started talking, and then I realized, man, you know what? She's 18 years old, and she's got a Bible that's worn out more than mine. What kind of a deal is that? She knows Scripture. She's quoting verses. What is this? And then I concluded, like most idiot men do, I like her. Thus, I must never talk to her again. That's how men think. Men who are trying to protect themselves from being hurt. See, it was a danger that I liked her. So thus, I shall never speak to her again. Yep. And I didn't for like a few days. Well, because we were talking a couple times a day, so a few days, that was a big deal. And the more I resisted, I found out I'm resisting the hand of God. It was bizarre. So those of you who are young tonight and you're saying, well, man, all this stuff just scares me to death. I don't even want to get married. No, listen. Marriage is a gift given by the Lord, and it is an awesome thing. Man has abused it and ruined it. And if you pray and seek God's face, the Lord can do anything. And if tonight you've gone through the marriage and it's broken now and it's over and it's history, and based upon your particular situation, the Bible speaks to where you're at about getting married again and all that stuff. It speaks in detail. But never, never harden your heart against what God wants to do. You will hurt no one but you. Life will move on, people will go on, things will go on, and you'll be left behind. I don't mean left behind, but I mean left behind. And you'll be bitter, lonely, and miserable. And you say, well, Pastor Jack, I'm divorced, but I don't want to be married, and I'm miserable, bitter, and upset. Then listen, and we end here. You need to focus on Jesus. You have been thinking about you too much. You've been looking back at the past and all the things that happened. And then you look ahead and you say, well, that will never happen for me. And that's not going to be in the cards for me. And I bet you I can't have that. And it's all about you. And that's why you're not happy. But when you make it all about Him, watch what happens. Watch what happens.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a message called Being a Christian is Obedience to God. We're so glad you joined us today, and our prayer for you is that you trust the Lord with your life. You see, with Jesus Christ in your heart, He's always ready to forgive and ready to restore. Being a Christian is Obedience to God is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we end the Life and Bible series, we want you to consider downloading the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It's a great way to have instant access to all the tools and resources that Pastor Jack has to offer to help you stay close to God. Devotions, media, sermons, all to help you know God in a deeper way. It's all right there, no matter where you are or what you're going through in life. You can download the Real Life mobile app through the App Store or through our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.